We need to get that sense of love so that no matter what is presented to us, we don't react to it, we don't fight back. If somebody came in the back door with a bow and arrow and they shot the arrow at me, if I duck my head, the arrow is just going to go over. It hasn't done any harm. But if I see the arrow coming and I get indignant and I come up and I say, you can't do that to me, I might get hit. And then I've got a problem. Now, what creates the problem? The arrow or my reacting to it? We've got to learn to see the allness of love so clearly that we don't react. Like the woman in Chicago. No matter what her friends did, she just kept pouring out love. If she had reacted, if she had expressed indignation or resentment or annoyance, she would have been expressing a lack of love. She wouldn't then have seen the restoration of the family's fortune. Because it is the evidence of love expressed and used in consciousness. Mrs. Eddy tells us that a departure from principle prevents us from demonstrating love. We've always got to make sure that we are staying with our concept of principle and always living from our highest point. I heard a testimony some years ago by a young fellow that I've never forgotten. He said that he was raised as a Christian Scientist and associated with Christian Scientists all the way through school, so I assume he went to Principia. But when he graduated, he went into a large business firm in a training program with men from a number of other colleges, none of whom were Christian Scientists. But he liked them, and he said they were very fine people, but they were smoking and drinking and gambling and carousing. He said they had such a good time doing it, he thought he'd like to do it too. And so he started doing it. He said the first thing he knew, he'd lost his health, his job, his money, his friends. In desperation, he had to turn back to Christian Science. And after a struggle, he regained his health, he got a new job, he had money, and he made new friends. And then he thought back on the old situation. He thought, well, now why could all of those fellows have done all those things, and they were successful? And I did it, and I fell flat on my face. And he said the answer came to him very clearly. They had been living up to their highest sense of principle. But he hadn't been living up to his highest sense. He had lowered his sense to theirs, and that had been the fall. Now, as we study Christian Science, we gain a higher understanding of being day by day, and therefore we're gaining a higher sense of principle. And we've got to live always at the highest point. What we understand today is what we have to demonstrate. If we do that, then the love in our consciousness stays constant, and no problem will enter our experience. But when we don't willingly follow our unfoldment and express that which is coming to us, then we get into trouble, whether it be physical or financial or sometimes just family discord. Therefore, we have to stay very alert to live with principle. We've got to make sure that we push out of consciousness every suggestion and temptation of sin, no matter what it might call itself. And today in the world, we're having an attack or a storm, really, of sensuality. We have to protect our thought against it. And we've got to make sure that we're never obedient to it and lower our sense of principle and act accordingly. We've got to always stay with our highest sense of purity. And this will enable us to express our substance in a way that's going to be right. And another thing that we need to defend ourselves against right now is the thinking of the country about the economic situation. It's clouding thought. And you might never hear anybody talk to you about how bad things are. But the thinking is in the atmosphere. And if you stay a mortal, then you might be touched by that thinking. And then it will come to you as your own thinking. The first thing you know, things are bad, and then it's going to be bad for you. But if you are clear that you're inside the mind of God, where only God's thinking of prosperity and success is unfolding, That's your protection, and you can't be touched. But you need to stay alert to it and handle it, because it's very prevalent right now. The first place that Christian Scientists need to express this love that God gives them is to their church. Our branch churches, the Mother Church, and institutions like Ten Acre depend to a large extent for their support upon the contributions of members. But the more we see that church is the structure of truth and love, the more we'll see that the love within the idea supports that church in every way thought says is necessary. As we turn away from money and endeavor to let the love of the idea express itself to each one of us, that love will supply everything that's needed, and it will inspire us to see that we can give abundantly. When I was a very young man, I belonged to a church that suddenly found that it needed a lot more money than what it had been receiving. As I prayed about it, it came to me to tithe. Now, I was on my first job, my salary was small, and it was all going out every week for what was needed. And this city was a city of great distances, and one needed a car to get around in. And I was just about to buy a car. And I thought, now, if I tithe, I won't be able to have the car. But I also thought, I need the church a lot more than I need the car, and therefore I'm going to tithe. 3 weeks later, I was suddenly offered a new job that doubled my income. Therefore, I could have the car and increase my tithing to church again. Now, let's not be superstitious about that. The job didn't come about just because I gave money. But undoubtedly, in being willing to give the money, I opened my thought to a clearer sense of God's presence and His qualities. And those qualities expressed in thought made a greater opportunity for their own service. At the end of World War I, the country of Poland found themselves on the brink of financial disaster. And they hired a Swiss economist to come and to work out a financial plan to save them. He hired a staff of experts, and they went through all the ramifications of getting a plan ready. And on the day before it was to be presented to the heads of government, it was assembled, and he read it through. He put it down, and he turned to his staff, and he said, "This is not going to work." Now, he needed a plan for the next day. And this had taken weeks to get ready. Fortunately, he was a Christian Scientist, and he started praying. He prayed all afternoon, and he prayed all evening. Nothing came to him. He finally got sleepy, and he told his wife, "I'm going to bed, but wake me at 5 o'clock. Sometime before that, he awakened, and the plan was unfolding. It was very simple, very direct. This was the plan he presented. All those pages of intellectuality he put aside. But this plan was accepted, and it was put into operation, and it did the job. This man was knighted, and at this time he publicly acknowledged that it was his prayers through Christian Science that saved Poland. Now, through our prayers, we can save our own financial situation. We can heal the conditions that present themselves to our churches, to our country, and to our world. It may take more study than what we've done up to now. It may take the acceptance of increased understanding and a deeper sense of living it and more praying. But it will work. Why don't we do it?"
Thank you, Mr. Strang, for your timely remarks. We certainly are grateful. Thank you. Let us stand and adjourn with the Scientific Statement of Being by Mary Baker Eddy. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind, and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth.
Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual.